Is yes, today is our second week in our Bless series. And in your bulletin, which again probably weighs 2 to 3 pounds, has the Bless insert in there. And what Bless is these are 5 practices in daily life to share the hope of Jesus with other people. And these 5 are B's begin in prayer. That was last week. Be praying for the people in your life. L today is listen. Listen with care. E's eat together, share a meal with someone. The first S is serve, practical ways you can just serve and love them. And then the last S is to share your story, the story of how Christ is at work in your life. And this is a process. I want to make sure we're clear on that. We don't jump to the last S. You begin with B. You begin with prayer, and then you listen. You work your way through it. So we're going through this series of that. But we also want to put a bunch of resources in your hand. So there's a handout there in the bulletin with each week has an insert. And then on the back of that's different ideas around that letter that you can practice in your life. On our Connect desk back there, we have a bookmark back there. I think we have one more journal left. Our journals were almost all taken last week. But as I mentioned last week, there is a book that goes along with this by author Dave Ferguson. And so we just got copies in this week. They're free. They're back in the Connect desk. Grab one if you'd like, and you can read up a little more in detail about this Bless series that we're going through. Okay, so jumping in, the title of today is A Lost Art of Love. A Lost Art of Love. And I want to ask, have you ever had someone listen to you, and they gave you just their full attention? No distractions, no agenda. You didn't feel like a project. Someone just simply listened to you with every ounce of their being. Have you had that experience? It's, no. Okay, you and I should talk afterwards. That is, it's an amazing experience, isn't it? You know, if you're new to our church, I've shared before, so I've battled chronic stomach issues for about 15 to 20 years. And it began a little under 20 years ago when I had acid reflux. Anybody have acid reflux in here? Okay, yes. We can maybe form like an acid reflux small group at the church, you know? And had acid reflux and went to a doctor. It got really bad. I was waking up at night. My chest would just be on fire. And the doctor prescribed this medication, which would reduce the acid production in your stomach, which makes sense. The part that he left out was that it was meant to be just a very short-term medication, maybe 1 month or less, while I stayed on it for 3 years. So as you can guess, that led to a number of problems. And I began this journey of going to doctor after doctor after doctor. I mean, every 6 months, I was going to a new doctor with different side effects. And I'd have bloating issues, right? Then I have other pain in my chest up here, and all these things I'd be going to. And almost every doctor would either prescribe me another medication, which I was like, I don't need that. You prescribe me more and more. I'm going to be on 20 meds. I don't need that, right? Or they would just refer me to someone else. Go to this doctor. They can help you. Well, as you can imagine, this was a really discouraging experience. It had been 4 or 5 years. I was really struggling a lot. Got to a point, honestly, where I was in pain all day long, like severe pain all day long. I didn't know if I'd keep working. I started to wonder, this is when my kids were young. I was thinking, I don't know if I can be a dad. I mean, I was really in a bad place, really discouraged. And someone said, hey, have you ever considered going to like a naturopath? And I was like, I don't know, I'm a little leery of that. Nah, you know. But at that point, I was like, whatever, I'll try anything. So I go make an appointment with this doctor, this woman up on Capitol Hill. And I go up and I go in the office and sit there, you know, and you wait for like half an hour as you're the doctor. And I wait, and then in she comes, a little bit older than me, but not much. And I'm in this chair, and you know, like in doctor's rooms, they have that little stool with the wheels, right, over the desk? And then most doctors I'd gone to, they would sit over there in the stool, and they'd be at their table with their tablet, and they'd be making notes and stuff right there. Well, immediately when she came in, she got on her stool, and she wheels it up right in front of me, like almost where you're like, can you scoot back a little bit? Like, right, and not to the side or this, like directly in front of me, sitting like this, staring me in the face. And she goes, John, she goes, tell me your story. And just looked at me like in my eyes, like I knew this wasn't like because you're a doctor. It was like she cared. And I sat there for probably 20 minutes And I just poured out my whole story. At the beginning, here's what happened. Here's the doctor. Here's all this stuff. She's taking notes, looking at me, taking notes, everything else. And I get done at the end of 20 minutes, and she looks at me, and she's like, wow, you've been through a lot. And then she leans in close to me, and she says, John, I want you to know. She says, we're going to get to the bottom of whatever this is, and we're going to fix it. And this is so embarrassing, I started crying. I couldn't hold it. I just started crying. Not like ugly sobbing, okay? Don't sit there and judge me. Right? I wasn't ugly sobbing, but enough where she gave me tissues. I had tears. I was crying. And the reason I was crying, because someone cared. Someone finally listened to me. And the amazing thing is, it's so profound. I can think, that was like 15 years ago, and I remember it like it was yesterday. I can picture her right now in front of me. It was so powerful doing that. And what I want to get across today, here's kind of the big idea, is this, is truly listening makes people feel loved. Truly listening to another person makes them feel loved. But you know, the honest truth of the sad thing is we live in a world that has stopped listening. We live in a world, we live in a culture that has forgotten what it looks like to listen to other people. We live amongst a culture of people clamoring to give their opinions. Just simply go back about 2 or 3 years into COVID, and we think about all of the division and the anger, and everybody wanted to give their opinion on all kinds of things, but I heard very few people actually just listening. We live in a world of talkers, influencers, cancelers, the division in our country, the polarization in our country. So much of it, honestly, at the core is people just won't listen. They won't sit with people who are different than them or believe differently than them or think different than them and listen to them, because we have a really easy solution with people like that. We just cancel them, right? We just cancel people. We just cancel culture, right? And what cancel culture really is underneath is, I'm unwilling to listen to you. I don't want to sit there and listen to someone who is different or I disagree with. You know, someone put a stat out one time that said that less than 2% of the U.S. population has had any formal education on how to listen. Wouldn't it be crazy if, like, they had classes in high school, middle school about listening? Like, at college, there was a class on listening. Wouldn't that be great, though? I feel like we should do that. Like, what an incredible gift and skill to give people to learn to actually listen to people and how to love them. I mean, think of it this. Just be honest with yourself. When's the last time you sat down with someone, and you gave them your undivided, full-body, 100% attention, and the sole goal of the conversation was for you to simply understand them? When's the last time you did that? I think if we're going to get honest, very rarely. Very rarely do we do that. And, you know, having these devices certainly doesn't help at all, right? I mean, now everyone, you get together with people and we just stare at our phones. If there's ever a moment of margin, I just go on social media or an app, right? Social media doesn't help with any of this, right? That makes it even worse. People think that's communication or listening when that's not even close to that, right? And please hear this too. This isn't me up here today preaching a message that I'm knocking on the park. If anything, to be honest, I need this more than anybody does. In fact, just this last week, now I'm going to kind of brag, and I'm sorry, but I have to brag. Last week, my older daughter told me to my face in front of our family, Dad, you're the worst listener I know. She said that, Dad, you're the worst listener I know. I was like, wow, that hurts. And then my wife is like, that's pretty accurate. You're a horrible listener. And my younger daughter says, Dad, you are really bad at listening. It's so bad, get this, about a month ago, we're sitting on the couch as a family one time, we're talking, and my daughters are like, I'm going over to this friend's house and spend the night. The other one's like, I'm going to go do this to a friend. We'll be back tomorrow. And I was like, wait a minute, time out. What's going on? And they all look at me like I had done something horrible. And I was like, what? And they're like, do you not remember last night at dinner, the whole conversation? And I was like, was I even there? And they're like, not only were you there, you were talking about it. We had this whole conversation about playing with the kids, and you literally, I had no idea. I am the worst listener of all. So please, dear, this message is to me as much to anybody else. But you know, someone said this line, which I think is helpful as well. They said the opposite of listening is not speaking. It's waiting to speak. Isn't that true if you think about that? It's even when we think we're listening to people, we're actually just forming our responses, how we want to get our opinion in there, how we're going to say something else. We can't even just stop and actually just listen. How many times, too, if you think about the other side of it, have you been on the receiving end? I mean, what do you feel like when someone's talking to you and they have their phone in their hand? Like, not looking at it, but just their phone in their hand. What are you thinking in your head? You're not really paying attention to me. What do you think when you're in the coffee shop and someone's talking to you, but they keep looking over your head or past your head? Right? What do you think? You're not paying attention to me, right? You don't feel, I mean, you don't feel valued, you don't feel respected, you don't feel heard, you don't feel all those things, right? We know that in our own lives, and so same with other people. I remember a couple years ago, we bought a car, went to a dealership, and we went into the room afterwards to meet with a finance person, this guy, you know, and I look at the pricing sheet, and down at the bottom of the pricing sheet, they added on this, like, additional package for, like, $4,000. We never even had discussed or anything, and I was like, what's this? And he begins the sales pitch, obviously, right? Oh, you need this, and here's what it is, and I was like, no, we don't need that. Take it off. Then he keeps trying to do it. Hey, this is going to be really good. It's going to help your family. No, I don't need it. Do it off. Then he tries to talk about something else. Then, no kidding, a third time, he comes back. He's like, hey, that package. And I started to get kind of mad. And I kind of, he's like, going in, and I was like, stop. And I said, I told you no. You're not listening to me, right? I felt disrespected, and I felt like I was a project. I felt like there was an agenda. It wasn't about just a customer. I'm an agenda for you. And we feel that way, don't we? And so the same thing with other people. Could you just think with this a minute? Could you imagine a society where they were quick to listen and slow to speak? Imagine a city like that. Imagine a business, imagine a church like that. Everybody was quick to listen, understand, and slow to give their opinion. That's crazy, isn't it? I mean, the very fact we can imagine that seems like, wow, that'd be amazing. I'd love to be a part of that kind of place. But listening is really hard, isn't it? I mean, that's the other part of it. It's really hard. I love what a writer from The Simpsons, yes, I'm quoting The Simpsons, okay? A writer from The Simpsons said this, I love this. He said, take this simple test. After your next long conversation with someone, estimate what percentage of it you spent talking. Be honest. No, you're already underestimating. How do I know? Because it's more fun to talk than listen. Talking is like drinking a great Cabernet. Listening is like doing squats. Listening is like reading a corporate report. Talking is like eating cinnamon buns. Amen. That is so true, isn't it? We love that. We love talking, but listening's so hard. It's so hard because I got to get the focus off of me. And to be honest, I love when the focus is on me, right? I love that. But I got to get it off of me. I have to be willing to hear things I don't agree with. A lot of us have a hard time with that. We can't handle people who think differently than us, right? I have to give my full attention when I'm constantly distracted, all right? It takes time. People are like onions. It takes a time for people to unpack, and we don't want to be patient. We just want to hustle people through to get on with the more important things with our lives, like watching our favorite TV show, right? And so we don't want to slow down with people, and it's really hard, but I think people are starving to be listened to. I think the people around you in your life are just hungering for someone to listen to them. Not with an agenda, not with a program, but just listen. In 2021, there was a project that this group did, and it actually came out of a guy named Brian Stevenson. He was the author of the book called Just Mercy. Anybody read that book or seen that movie, Just Mercy? It's a story about Brian Stevenson was an attorney, and he would go to inmates on death row, and he would hear their stories, their lives. And his kind of famous statement to kind of summarize the whole book was that people on death row are more than the worst thing they've ever done. That was his premise, that they can't be defined by simply a horrible moment, something like that, and they have a story in them. And so they began this program, actually, where both conservative and liberal colleges in the U.S. came together with the same mission of hearing from each other. And so the program is called Bridging the Gap. And the author said this. He said, so I would ask for a moment to consider the application of that principle that people are better than their worst moment. To the 75 million Americans, this is in 2021, who voted for Trump, and the 81 million who voted for Biden. While many of us have been convinced by the wisdom that people on death row are better than their worst deed, we are still quick to condemn, quote, those voters as worse than their worst vote. Genuine listening is challenging and fruitful. Listening deeply means silencing that noise, listening not just with your ears, but with every sense you've got, every cell in your body. It means listening to all that is said and unsaid, to the body language, the tone, the eye movement. It's full body listening. I love that idea. Full body listening. This type of listening builds trust, opens doors, and offers a path to deep discovery and a sacred connection that forms the basis for new understandings and otherwise unimaginable possibilities. Study after study shows in sector after sector in medicine, marriage, real estate, sales, and more that true listening generates better results. And yet most of us go through our entire lives without having learned how to do it. Full body listening, that we would give all of ourselves to people to hear their story. You know what the core problem actually is with not listening? And I'll put it in a mathematical formula, right? It's being unheard plus being unknown makes people feel unloved. When you feel unheard, you don't feel known by someone, and you feel unloved. And here's the deal. If someone around you who doesn't know Jesus feels unloved, they will never, ever listen to you share about Jesus. They will have no interest in your life as a Christian or anything about Jesus if they don't know they're loved by you. I love what this author, David Augsburger, said. He said, being heard is as close to being loved that for the average person, they are almost indistinguishable. For the average person, the connection between being heard and being loved are almost the exact same thing. You know, someone said one time, and you might have heard this before, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. You ever heard that one before? People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. People just want to know you love them and you care about them and there's no strings attached. You know, I wonder, to be honest, if we've totally minimized the power of listening. I wonder if so many of us, like myself, are just not good listeners. We don't do that and we just treat it trivial or it's not that big a deal. But I wonder if in reality, listening to people is a huge deal. And listening to people could actually transform them. It could actually show people who Jesus is in our lives. Maybe it's one of the best ways to show people the power of Jesus. It's to show them, I love you, I care about you, and you're worth listening to and hearing your story. Somebody said one time, everyone has a story, but few people who will listen to that story. Everyone has a story, but few people will take the time to listen to that story. You know, this is why, to be just very honest, I'm not a big fan of evangelistic programs and formulas and tracks. And to be honest, some of you maybe were saved by those. I'm not putting that down. I'm just saying for me, that's not been, I think, a very effective strategy. And I think sometimes, because in my opinion, programs, formulas, tracks, those kind of things reduce people down to a program. They reduce people down to a checklist. They reduce people down to maybe my assumptions that I know things about people, but if I just took the time to get to know them better, I would understand their story, and I would know who they are. I think listening humanizes people. It brings dignity to people, worth to people, value to people. It lets them know you've been uniquely made in God's image. You are a unique person with a unique story, and God cares. You know what I've noticed in my own life? I've noticed this, is that people have been much more impacted when the gospel can connect to something directly in their lives versus just a general thing with the gospel. Jesus loves you and wants to save you from your sins. Amen. The Bible says that. But here's what I've learned in listening to people's stories, is some people, they feel extremely hurt in life. Some people underneath have a lot of pain and they feel very wounded. And when they can hear that there is a God who wants to come and heal them, when they hear about a God who cares about their pain and is in their pain, now the gospel begins to have teeth. Some people in life underneath are extremely lonely. They don't look lonely. They seem busy and stuff. Underneath, there is an incredible loneliness. When they hear there is a God who wants to meet them in their loneliness and will never leave or forsake them, then the gospel has power. For some people, they have guilt They are weighed down by such guilt, by choices they've made, things in their lives they've never told people, things that are going on. And to hear there's a God who forgives them, who welcomes them in, now the gospel has power. But if we don't ever listen, we'll never be able to say that. We'll never know someone's pain. We'll never know someone's loneliness. We'll never know someone's guilt if we don't hear their story. You know, there's a story one time of a group of missionaries who went over to Japan. And there was, in the language school there, as they were learning the language, there was the instructor. And he was a guy who grew up in Japan. He was Japanese, and he taught there. And this is what he said. He held up a glass of water in front of the class. And he said this. He said, "The Japanese people are like this full cup. Their lives are very busy and full." And he held it there with the water just brimming at the top. He said, "We've got to be careful of pouring on the truth, as important, great, and glorious as it is. If you pour water into a cup that's already full, where does the water go?" Just falls on the ground. He said, "Sometimes in our overzealousness as Christians to share the good news, we can overdo it. And we just pour it on, and then the opportunity of that water is wasted because people's cups are already full. But," he said, "when you take the time to listen," and then he took a couple of drinks of the water. And then when you take it down and listen, he said, "You now have space. That's now capacity for you to share what's going on and the impact to them, because you now know their story. Now you have a passage of scripture you can relate to, a word of encouragement you can give to someone. Now you know how you could pray for them because you've taken the time to listen." You've taken the time to listen to someone's story. So whose story do you need to listen to this week? Who just needs you to sit down and hear their story? You're probably guessing, but the man who modeled this better than anybody take a guess? Yeah, his name's Jesus, right? Jesus is the best listener of all. You know, I read this stat this week. I doubt you knew this. I didn't know this. This is pretty awesome. In the four Gospels, right, Jesus was asked 187 questions, and he directly answered three of them. Isn't it amazing? 187 questions, he only answered three. He asked 307 questions in the Gospels, and very rarely did he answer. Most of the time, Jesus did what? Listened. He just listened to people. He wasn't quick to jump in. Do you know how many times to you Jesus answers a question with a question? Right, like one of the most annoying things ever. Jesus did that all the time to people because he wanted to think, he wanted to hear, he wanted to simply listen. And you know, before though we jump into, well, Jesus listening and then how we can listen, I think we got to start back in an earlier place and say this. The reason Jesus listened to people is because Jesus loved people. That might seem blatantly obvious, but here's the deal. If you find people annoying, if you find people frustrating, if you find people get in your way of what you want to do in life, if you find people interrupt your day, if you find you're trying to fix people, right, you will never listen to anybody. It all begins with having a heart of loving other people. Loving the people that God has put in your life around you, wherever they are. The simple question is, do you love them? It sounds obvious, but you've got to answer that. If I don't love those people and I have a hope for those people, I will never take time to actually listen to them. So do you love the people that God has put around you? And you know, sadly, to be honest, I think some of us are just way too busy. I think we don't have margin. We don't even have time to sit down with people hardly. Our schedule is so overpacked, we're overcommitted, all kinds of stuff. And so it's not that we don't maybe love people, it's just I'm so busy. I don't have time to stop and just listen. Some of us, if we're really going to get totally honest, we're kind of self-centered. We're just about our own personal comfort. We're about our own lives, our own schedules. We want to do it our own way. And so we don't listen to people because it's really about us. Some of us have gotten hurt. And so what we've done is then we guard ourselves. And so we keep people at a distance. And we want to keep them that way because if we're honest, I'm just scared of getting hurt again. And so we don't listen, but Jesus chose love over self-protection. Jesus chose love over self-comfort. Jesus chose love over a frantic and hurried life. Jesus chose love. Do you love the people around you? You know, there's a great story. There's lots of stories. And we could sit here until 5 o'clock and tell stories of Jesus listening to people. But let me give you one, okay? It's in Luke chapter 18, 35 through 42. Here's what it says. As Jesus approached Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. When he had heard the crowd going by, he asked what was happening. They told him, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. He called out, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Those who led the way rebuked him and told him to be quiet. But he shouted all the more, son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus stopped and ordered the man to be brought to him. When he came near, Jesus asked him, what do you want me to do for you? Lord, I want to see, he replied. Jesus said to him, receive your sight. Your faith has healed you. You know, it says Jesus came into Jericho at that time. That time he was coming to Jericho at this moment was a really crazy busy time in Jericho. When he was coming in at that moment, think of like if you've gone to a Mariners game, think of trying to get in the stadium like right out in front of it, right? You've been there? Like it's just chaos, people everywhere, and crowds. That's this moment. That's what's going on. Jesus is going through, right? And there's thousands of people. And some guy on the side of the road's yelling out, have mercy on me, Jesus. And you hear the people's response, right? I'll translate to modern day. Shut up. That's modern day, right? That's what people said. The people rebuked him. Knock it off, man. Quit yelling. He doesn't care about you. Be quiet, right? And then he says again, yells out, Jesus, have mercy on me. And of all the people, Jesus hears him and Jesus brings him over. And did you notice the question that Jesus asked him? I love that question. What do you want me to do for you? If after this service today, you went out to lunch, and of all people, all of a sudden, you went out to lunch with Jesus, and you knew as the Son of God who he is, and he asked you the simple question, what do you want me to do for you? That question basically is, tell me your story. And I think even deeper, it's probably your greatest pain. What do you want me to do for you is probably that thing deep down that you've been wanting God to do in your life for a long time, or that place of hurt or that place of loss. And you say to him, if you could do anything for me, here's the one thing. Think of this man, how hard his life must have been. Blind in that culture with not any, hardly any resources at all. Sitting by the side of the road begging is his life. And then on top of all that, at the time, the theology was, if you have a physical ailment, God's judging you. So now he thinks God's judgment is on him, and he's got guilt on him. And in all this, Jesus comes to him, and someone has the patience and the love to come right up to his face and say, what do you want me to do for you today? Tell me your story. It's not just Jesus, though, that is in the Bible with a lot of this, right? It's other parts, too. James 1:19, everyone's probably familiar with this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. The problem for most of us is we practice the opposite of this, right? We are slow to listen, fast to speak, and quick to get angry. That probably characterizes a lot more of us, right? But that's what James says, all those things. Proverbs 12:15, the way of a fool seems right to them, but a wise person listens to advice. Proverbs 18:2, a fool takes no pleasure understanding, but only in expressing their opinion. Ouch. Proverbs 18:13, to answer before listening, that is folly and shame. To answer before listening to a person and hearing their story is folly and shame. It would seem in just a cursory review of the Bible that listening is a high, high priority to God. Listening is a high value to God and makes a huge difference in someone's life. But I want to ask the question, what does listening do? Why is it so important to God and why does it matter so deeply? I want to give you two reasons. I've said some, but here's two big ones. Number one is this, people feel valued. People feel valued. The thing with listening to someone who doesn't know Jesus, you don't have to agree with people. You don't have to affirm people. You don't have to know the answers to everything. Just people need from you is to listen. Just listen. No agenda, no program, no project, no anything. Just simply seeking to understand them. We can take our mathematical formula and we can flip it around the other way too. Listening plus being known equals loved. When people feel listened to and they feel known, they feel loved. You know, earlier this year in the spring, I was invited down to Salem, Oregon for a training. And I went down there, and we were meeting at a large church in Salem, and we were doing just kind of a classroom stuff. But all of a sudden, the next day, they said, hey, we're going to take, as part of this training, a couple of field trips out to some places that are practicing some of the things that we were learning. And so we went out to this place called Acres of Hope, and it was a horse ranch. And someone in the church who was with horses and had a passion for that, they decided they wanted to launch a ministry of a ranch with horses where teens who were going through really hard stuff could come and they could find therapy. And so it was with horses. And so they launched this ministry. And so we all went out there, and it was pretty amazing. I'm not a horse guy, but it was really cool. There's like 40 acres out there. There was a place where they had the horses. I don't even know the name of that, but like whatever it's called, that's where the horses were. And we were there, and we got to go up the horses and everything else and see them and then the different places they had. And then some of the workers got up and got to share. And they shared about what they do is that teens who are struggling with pretty heavy stuff come there. And they said, usually what happens is this, is a teen comes, and when they come, we take them out with a horse out to that, whatever that thing is, a stable. That's probably the right word. They bring them out there, and they said, we sit there with the horse, and they said, oftentimes in the first meeting, that's an hour to an hour and a half long, no words are spoken. They sit there, and they just pet the horse. They walk the horse, and the counselor says nothing. They just walk. The second time they come, they said oftentimes that second time, no words will be spoken. They walk, sit there, feed the horse. By the third time, they said they all of a sudden maybe begin to open up a tad bit. And they realize that for the first time, maybe for some of them, this is a place where they're actually valued. This is a place where someone loves me. This is a safe place where I can actually share what's going on and not fear being rejected or hurt. And they said kids share about abuse. Kids share about mental health struggles. Kids share about things going on at school. Kids share about their almost decisions to commit suicide. And they share them when they finally have been listened to. And the thing about it's pretty cool is it's a Christian ministry, but they never push that. If some student wants to know more about Jesus, they will certainly do that, but there's no agenda. And a lot of times kids leave after a year and a half and they didn't become a Christian, but they found a place where they're loved. They found a place where they're cared for, where they're listening, and they can just open up about their lives. And they can experience God's love. The second thing that I think listening does is it builds trust. It builds trust with people. Remember I said that phrase earlier, people don't care how much you know, they know how much you care. I think this is it's listening without trying to fix people. Right? Who in here loves to be trying to be fixed by people? None of us, right? You hate that, don't you? I hate that when people try and fix me, right? What's the thing? I don't want you to fix me, I just want you to listen to me. Just hear me. Just try and understand what I'm going through. Try and understand where I'm at. And I think what people want to know more than else, don't try and fix me or have an agenda or a project. Just seek to understand me. And when you do that, it builds trust. People begin to trust you. You ever have that friend who's always trying to sell you something? Right? You guys have that? Right? There's always that sense of like, is this person like a real friend or is it because of that thing? Right, that they want to sell me or get me in or get me involved, right? You always have this sense of like something's going on. There's some manipulation, right? And people who don't know Jesus have a very strong antenna to be able to tell when you listen to them, but there's an agenda. You listen to them because you're trying to get them somewhere. People can sense that, and they hate that, and we hate that. And the power comes when I can just stop and listen to people. I think what it is people want to know you love them for who they are, not who you want them to be. People just want to know that you love them simply for who they are, not for who you think they should or want them to be. Stephen Covey, you guys heard of Stephen Covey? He's a leadership trainer guy, and he did the 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. Many of you probably heard of that. It's used in a lot of organizations. Here is one of the habits that he has. This is such a great one. Here it is. Seek first to understand before seeking to be understood. Seek first to understand before seeking to be understood. Right before COVID, I was at a conference with a bunch of pastors in Seattle, and it was with the Union Gospel Mission. And they were talking about homelessness, and it was all about just homelessness and trying to understand more what's going on in our city and doing that. And they had the new CEO of the Union Gospel Mission, Scott Chin was his name, and he was with us that day. And he had just come into the Union Gospel Mission as the new head, and he shared with us that when he came in, the first 6 months of coming in, he did what he called a listening tour. And the first 6 months he came in, this is what he did, literally all week long. He went around to the men's recovery programs, the women's recovery programs, the homelessness shelters, the warehouse, the facilities, all the places they have stuff all over Seattle. And he went in, and the only goal he had was listening. Tell me about what you're doing. Tell me about how you guys work here. What do you love about the Union Gospel Mission? What do you not like about the Union Gospel Mission? What do you wish was different? What do you think I should be doing as the CEO? It was 6 months of just seeking to understand people before any decisions were made about stuff. And I thought, could you imagine being part of a church where the goal of every person was seeking to understand before I'm understood? Could you imagine that? Can you imagine being part of a school like that or a business team like that? Wouldn't that be amazing? That'd be incredible to be part of something like that, where people loved you so much they wanted to understand you. You know, if you're in this Blessed series and you're probably thinking, John, when are we going to get to the action? When are we going to get to do something, right? We will, but the B and the L, I would argue, are probably the most important. That you begin in prayer and you learn what it looks like to listen to someone. There's people in your life right now who don't know Jesus. And maybe the next step for you is just to listen. Not form responses or give resources thing. It's just to listen to their story and understand them as best you possibly can. Remember, individuals are people to be loved, not projects to be changed. Individuals are people to be loved, not projects to be changed. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I am so thankful for your example, that you went around and you listened to people. You listened to stories of brokenness. You listened to stories of joy. You listened to all kinds of stories, God. And you did that so people would be loved. And God, you've put people in every one of our lives right now. We can think of maybe people in our home, people in our work, people at our schools, people in our gym, people wherever. We know that maybe this week they just need someone to listen to them. God, would you help us die to ourselves, our agendas, our selfishness, our programs, and just listen, God. And in that listening, God, would you open up doors where people begin to know that they're loved and valued and respected and heard, and maybe that would give the opportunity for them to open up and share their lives, and then we could share the hope of Jesus. God, we pray for opportunities like this. We pray, God, help us to be better listeners for your glory. In your name, amen. Let's go ahead and stand up and continue worshiping. Thank you.